All right, thank you. As mentioned, my name is Claire Coombs, and I'm a master's candidate at the University of Guelph Ridgetown campus under the supervision of Dr. Laura Van Aird. And I'll be presenting part of my master's research regarding legume cover crops on nitrogen dynamics in corn systems in southwestern Ontario. Cover crops are a type of crop that are planted not for the purpose of harvest, but to improve overall soil health and quality. In Ontario, they are usually planted during the fallow period from wheat harvest in the mid to end of July to the following corn planting in May. They are planted to achieve such benefits as reduced soil erosion, inhibition of weed growth, or the alteration of nitrogen dynamics in the system. In Ontario, it is common to underseed or frost seed red clover into winter wheat, and this practice has demonstrated favorable results in terms of the alteration of the nitrogen dynamics. Red clover has demonstrated the ability to reduce nitrogen losses in the fall, as well as provide a nitrogen credit by decomposing in a timely fashion to the following corn crop. Though red clover has demonstrated favorable results, there are still concerns about the use of this cover crop as well as other legume cover crops in Ontario. Consequently, we have to address these concerns to ensure implementation of cover crop use. The first concern is the varying stand uniformity of red clover. Every year, the establishment of red clover varies, and there is concern that if there is low establishment of red clover, what other cover crop could be used in its place to ensure the benefits of legume cover crops are achieved. Secondly, there has been questions and research suggesting that legume cover crops do not have an ability to immobilize N during the usual fallow period, similar to the way that we know brassicas and cereals can. If it is not known whether legume cover crops can immobilize N, there is difficulty convincing growers to implement the use of cover crops and without knowing whether this benefit will be achieved. This leads into a final need for a better understanding of the overall nitrogen dynamics in a system and quantifying the amount of nitrogen available for loss or uptake by a plant. This further relates to a need for a better understanding of how management practices could potentially affect the nitrogen availability. Both the seeding rate of the cover crop species as well as the timing of termination could affect the amount of nitrogen in the system, and therefore an understanding of this is needed to implement cover crop use in Ontario. With this in mind, an experiment was created with the hypothesis that legume cover crops will influence the nitrogen dynamics in the fallow season. However, the effect will differ depending on cover crop species, seeding rate, and termination timing. The experiment was set up in Ridgetown, Ontario, Canada in 2012, with two fields being planted in cover crops, and in 2013, two more fields were planted. Every field was set up in the same way in a randomized complete block design in a split-split plot arrangement with four replications. The main plot factor was cover crop species, with red clover, crimson clover, and alfalfa being the species of interest, as well as a no cover, which was where no species were planted to represent the bare fallow. The split plot factor was the termination time point, where there was a fall termination and a spring termination via tillage. Finally, the split-split plot factor was the cover crop seeding rate, where there was three seeding rates of 3.4, 6.7, and 13.5 kilograms per hectare. The fields were then sampled at both termination time points, so in October and in May, and both soil and biomass samples were collected. Soil samples were collected from by four cores in every subplot at three depths of 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and 30 to 60 centimeters. The soil was then analyzed for nitrate and ammonium nitrogen using the procedure outlined in Maynard et al. Cover crop biomass was collected at the same time points using two 0.25 meter squares per plot, as seen in the picture, and all biomass in this section was collected, fresh and dry weighted, and analyzed for percent nitrogen and percent carbon using combustion. With our soil and biomass analysis, we could perform two calculations to quantify the amount of nitrogen in the system. Soil mineral nitrogen was calculated by summing the total nitrate and ammonium N in the top 60 centimeters of the soil. This value allowed for an estimation of the amount of nitrogen that could either be taken up by a plant or lost through various processes. We then calculated plant available nitrogen by summing the soil mineral nitrogen, as calculated above, with the above-ground biomass nitrogen content. This value of plant available nitrogen gave us a total estimation of the nitrogen in the system, whether in the above ground biomass or in the soil. With these values, we then performed statistical analysis using SAS version 9.4, where we subjected all data to ANOVA with a p-value of 0.5 using ProcMixed. The analysis was quite complicated as we wanted to determine whether year or location would have an effect on our results, and so every analysis was first run with year and location as fixed effects. For our plant available nitrogen and soil mineral nitrogen data, we found that year and location had no significant effect on the results, and we re-ran the analysis with year and location as a random effect. When analyzing our above ground biomass data, however, year had a significant effect on most of the values we calculated, and consequently year was run as a fixed effect and location was run as a random effect. Finally, for further analysis of how the seeding rate affected the results, we ran ProcCore in SAS. And so if we jump into the results, we first analyzed if there was an effect of seeding rate on any of our results. This would give us an indication if the three seeding rates had to be analyzed separately or could be analyzed combined. We found that only above ground biomass dry weight was significantly affected by the seeding rate. However, when analyzed in interactions with cover crop species or termination timing, rate had no effect. We further saw that seeding rate had no effect on our nitrogen content, our soil mineral nitrogen, or our plant available nitrogen. We most likely hypothesized that rate had very little effect on our overall results due to the picture we see on the side here. In this picture, the three cover crop seeding rates actually are represented. However, it is difficult visually to distinguish between the three. This most likely indicates that regardless of cover crop species seeding rate, a full stand would establish and limited differences would be seen, and we can see this through the analysis of our seeding rate. Moving forward, we then analyzed the above ground biomass of the cover crop species, and we found that there's a significant year by month by crop interaction. From this data, we can begin to determine differences between our three cover crop species. The crimson clover performed differently than both our alfalfa and red clover. In May 2013 and 2014, as well as October 2013, we see significantly lower biomass as compared to the alfalfa red clover. Even when we had high biomass, as seen in October 2012, we see that by the following spring, there was significantly lower biomass, thus indicating an inability of crimson clover to overwinter in the same way that alfalfa and red clover do. However, alfalfa and red clover, as we see, perform very similarly, both having high biomass in the October and the following May, indicating a strong ability for these two crops to overwinter and have high biomass the following spring prior to the planting of a following crop. We then began to analyze the amount of nitrogen in the system, looking both at that soil mineral nitrogen, so the amount of nitrogen in the soil, as well as the plant available nitrogen, so the amount of nitrogen in the total system. From this, we found there's a significant effect of cover crop species on both these values. First, we saw that the no cover had significantly higher soil mineral nitrogen in October as compared to the three cover crop species. This indicates that the cover crop species had an ability to immobilize N, reducing the amount of nitrogen in the system, and thus reducing the amount of nitrogen that could potentially be lost over winter. This is further emphasized by the significantly higher plant available nitrogen values of alfalfa and red clover as compared to the no cover, further indicating that though there is higher nitrogen in the system with these two cover crops, the nitrogen is present in the plant and not in the soil, thus indicating an ability of the cover crops to reduce the amount of nitrogen that could be lost in the soil through various processes. If we jump forward to the May after the winter, we saw that there's a significant cover crop species by termination time point interaction. Again, we see that there was significant differences between the crimson clover as compared to the alfalfa and red clover. The crimson clover had no significant difference between a fall termination time point and a spring termination time point, indicating that this further indicates the inability of red clover to overwinter. The spring biomass N content of the crimson clover was extremely low, and that was most likely due to that low biomass we saw of crimson clover. Again, we see that alfalfa and red clover perform very similarly. There's significantly higher plant available nitrogen for both of these cover crops with a spring termination as compared to a fall termination, And this is because of the amount of nitrogen we see in the biomass growing in the spring. This further demonstrates the ability of alfalfa and red clover to perform similarly. And so with this, we can begin to draw some conclusions about the performance of cover crops in Ontario. First, we can see that alfalfa performs similarly to red clover, and therefore it could potentially be used as a substitute for red clover if red clover fails to establish or is unavailable to a grower. However, we see that in most cases, crimson clover does not perform in the same way, and the management of crimson clover would have to be different if used in Ontario. Second, we saw that all three cover crops are able to reduce the amount of soil mineral nitrogen in the fall, and therefore they have an ability to decrease the amount of nitrogen that could potentially be lost over winter. Finally, in terms of management practices, we saw that seeding rate has no effect on soil mineral nitrogen or plant available nitrogen, and that regardless of seeding rate, you will see similar results. However, if discussing the amount of nitrogen in the system, to ensure the highest amount of nitrogen for a following crop, a spring termination is recommended. I would like to thank the following people and my funders, and now I would like to open the floor to questions. I don't have specific numbers, but in Ontario, the red clover is the cheapest, potentially why it is the most widely used. Alfalfa is more expensive than that, and then, though I didn't recommend the crimson clover, it is in fact the most expensive, so probably further emphasizing why it's not a recommended crop. Oh, yes.
Knowing that crimson clover is not going to winter survive, and first of all, I'm really surprised that you selected crimson clover for that purpose. Don't you think that hairy vetch is a better candidate?
Yeah, hairy vetch is. So the question was, knowing that crimson clover wouldn't winter survive, is hairy vetch potentially an alternative solution? Hairy vetch is. We chose crimson clover to analyze as there was a lot of research coming out of the United States regarding its benefits and how positive of a crop it actually is. And so there wasn't much research in Ontario to see if it would winter kill or how the nitrogen dynamics would be affected. And so in this case, we chose it more to have a better understanding of how it works in southern Ontario. Year and location?
Is there an advantage for considering them either random or fixed? Or are there any?
So the reason we did was the two locations we had slightly different soil types, and so we wanted to see if potentially that would have an effect. We know in general in Ontario we have seen cases where different soil types have had an effect, so that's why we didn't consider it. However, we saw that it had no effect. And the years, just based on weather, precipitation, and temperature, as we saw, did actually affect the growth of our cover crop.
Thank you.
Thank you.